Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling podcast where wrestling things are counted down that we know of. Here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, also available in podcast form wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and soundcloud.com/Steven Larson. But not Spotify.
Not Spotify yet.
That's right.
We are on the road to Spotify.
The road to Spotify. We're looking to get Spotify functionality up and running. It's a very technical process, Larson. It's filled with programming code and technologies that I am unaware of.
Are you sure about that?
No, I don't think at all. I think it's a matter of putting our shit in a folder or something on Spotify, making it public. I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
I'm like, dude, I got to tell you. I got to make sure the right files are in the right folders and the right files are not made public. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't need my shit on my computer made public. That's for sure.
No.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
It's like, hey, let me download this latest podcast. Oh, look at that. It's Steve's asshole. A picture of my asshole, Larson. Literally, I have several of those on my computer. Nobody should really want to see those.
No.
Anyways, this is, of course, Countout.
Yes.
And on yesterday's program, we counted down the top NXT call-ups in the WWE. Of course, we're not talking about their actual when they were called up, not their debuts.
The wrestlers that were called up from NXT who made the
biggest
most significant impact thus far on the main roster.
Correct. And
we should mention a couple things. Yeah. One,
we forgot Baron Corbin.
We forgot to mention Baron Corbin in our honorable mentions. Two, we shot that before Seth Rollins got hurt, or it was announced that he was hurt.
Correct.
So that's why there's no mention of his knee injury in that episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But today, we're going to talk about the NXT call-ups who didn't fare so well on the main roster.
Is Samoa Joe on this list? Because he just injured Triple H's opponent for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's not a great impact. Net loss impact for Samoa Joe. I'm sure he'll be great.
Yeah, he'll be good.
Let's see here. So worst call-ups, people who came up from NXT. And we'll talk about how, you know, maybe number one, you said this perfect off camera. It's not their fault that they've fallen flat necessarily. A number of things, including creative, booking, et cetera, et cetera.
Being called up too early.
There's any number of things. I like how our friend Carlos Hackworth put it in one of his questions. He said in his video question on the Dirt Sheet two days ago, he says, I think that there is nothing. There is no such thing in the WWE as bad talent. It's just how they're used.
Yep.
And so I kind of agree with any of these guys, especially a couple of them really, could be huge. And they just haven't had it. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, hasn't happened.
We'll take a look at why. So, number 10.
10.
Fandango. He was in developmental for a long time.
Yeah, he...
I remember you pointed
this
out.
Yeah, I have this note here. He debuted in 2012, and after being in WWE developmental for 6 years.
Jeez.
He was in Deep South Wrestling.
He preceded FCW.
He was in FCW and he was in NXT.
Man, oh man.
But he came, before he came up to the main roster, there was a lot of fanfare. There's all these vignettes.
Yeah.
Hyping up a character inspired by a ballroom dancer.
Yeah.
He had his first match at WrestleMania 29 against Chris Jericho.
Okay.
And won.
Yeah. Big things on the horizon.
Yeah,
for him.
It seemed like Vince had high hopes for Fandango.
Was that the Mania after which there was the Raw where the crowd sort of took over with the Fandango?
I believe so.
Yeah. And whenever they go back to that arena, the same thing happens.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
After that happened, it seems like they were really trying to push. Not so much him, but fans doing this.
You know, it's funny that they sometimes have the WWE creative, Vince, whoever you want to call, has a difficult time delineating between this kind of thing being over and the wrestler associated with it being over.
I know.
And so, for example, with Daniel Bryan, there was the knock for a while that they felt the yes chant itself was over as opposed to him. And it turns out the exact
that was way off.
Yeah, it was way off. Fandango's the kind of guy where this shit. Ballroom dancer is a profession or hobby, depending on how good you are.
Yeah.
Fandango
is not a dancer at all. But here's the thing that I will give him credit for is this is all my speculation. I'm guessing he knew the gimmick was terrible.
Yeah.
He knew full well the gimmick was awful.
Yeah.
But he still ran with it and gave it a camp quality that at times made it funny.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And to be completely honest, when him and Tyler Breeze, who's also on this list later on, when they show up in any role on TV as the fashion police or whatever they are,
yeah,
I get a kick out of them.
Yes.
I think they're both supremely talented guys who, like you said, they have a sense of self-awareness that makes it entertaining. The problem is that is a recipe for forever jobber.
I know.
Because he is so far buried now into comedy act. You know, Titus O'Neil still has a chance. Still has a chance to dig his way out of this seemingly endless punishment that Vince has handed him down for touching his sleeve.
Yeah, I know.
But he is, for all intents and purposes, kind of a comedy act. But they've given him enough flashes of dominance so that there's still the threat. He could still possibly pull it off. Fandango has been completely buried into this comedy act.
Yes.
And there is no getting out of it. Now, if he's professional, if he shows up on time, if he does what he's told, et cetera, he could have still a long career to come in the WWE.
Absolutely.
And if they repackaged him in the most meta way possible by addressing the Fandango character, he's a good looking dude. He's talented in the ring.
Yeah. He's got some charisma.
He's got charisma. There's the possibility he could still pull it off, but man, oh man, he is so far buried down. And the crazy thing is a couple, like 6 months ago, there was those rumors that,
yeah, they were going to repackage, Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Into something more serious.
Yeah.
And instead, we got Fashion Police.
They went the exact opposite way. Listen, I've been thinking about repackaging you guys into something more serious. How about this? You're Fashion Police!
That's probably exactly how it went down.
I know. And you know, they were like, oh man, here we go. This is our big opportunity. You're Fashion Police! And you know, as soon as they stepped out of his outside of his office, they were like, dude, fuck me, man. That just sucks. But I find both of them vastly entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
To be completely honest with you. Number nine.
Eric
Rowan.
He is the... Oh, wait. Braun Strowman was the black sheep of the Wyatt family.
That's what they referred to him
as. Yeah, sorry. But in terms of, I guess, you could say accomplishments.
Yeah.
I guess Eric Rowan would be that.
Everybody looks at, in terms of the largely silent, more silent members of the Wyatt family, everybody looks at Luke Harper as like, because that dude has...
He's got tons of talent.
He's got mad talent. He's got crazy talent. Eric Rowan is the redheaded guy who always just sort of is there.
Yeah.
And like he doesn't really accomplish much except for eating all their losses.
I know. He was the jobber of the Wyatt family.
He was. He totally was. And I don't know if that's like a good ceiling for him or not. I have no idea if he's like, I don't think he's necessarily more talented in the ring than we're being led on to believe.
I don't know.
I've never heard anybody like Meltzer has said, man, Luke Harper, he's a really talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you
it's obvious.
It.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, man, Eric Rowan, breakout star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has the great Wyatt family look when he's healthy, which he seems to have been injured. You know,
he's gotten hurt twice in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that one time they tried to, when they broke up the Wyatt family and tried to give him a singles run.
Oh, yeah. No,
didn't work.
Didn't go anywhere. Did not go anywhere. But, you know, as a member of the Wyatt family, he has a place.
Yeah. But he is the only member of the Wyatt family so far that really hasn't won anything.
Yeah. I mean, he had that high-profile loss against The Rock.
It's true.
He has the record. He won the record for the fastest loss.
At WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania. So he's got that. when he just stumbled into a rock bottom?
Pretty much.
Is that what happened? Like,
yep,
he just sort
virtually.
Of he walked towards the rock and
ate a rock bottom.
Ate a rock bottom.
Because Luke Harper is a former Intercontinental Champion.
Was Eric Rowan shit at all? Was he anything in NXT?
I don't know. He was part of the Wyatt family in NXT.
Yeah.
And I think he and Harper had the NXT mm-hmm. tag team titles.
Didn't they win the made the? No, they didn't win the main. They were they
never
com-
got
they
them.
Competed for them. I yes. think once. Okay. So yeah, Eric Rowan. I mean, you know, he has his place in the Wyatt family as the guy who takes the pins. That's not like a big recipe for a, you know,
a long successful career.
Yeah, not really. So that's kind of a bummer.
And it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the Wyatt family dynamic, assuming there is a Wyatt family when he comes back from injury.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Number eight.
Eight.
The Vaudevillains. Sorry. Let's see here. So the Mania 32 call up. Let's do that again. Number eight.
Eight.
The Vaudevillains. Yeah.
They were called up shortly after WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
They were decent heels in NXT.
Yes.
They are former NXT tag team champions.
Well, their gimmick, they're time travelers, right?
No. They're embodying the spirit of a different era.
Men from a different era. That's
no,
their
like
thing.
Embodying the spirit of a different
body.
Era.
Body?
But not their physical bodies have been transported from that era to ours.
See, I don't think you know that.
I do.
I think you're just assuming that because time travel is not a real thing.
Well, it's a pretty safe assumption to make.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing about the Vaudevillains. Their shtick in NXT, it's something that's much more conducive to getting a pop or heat in NXT.
Yes.
Because they've got that goofy entrance, which just is, it's so silly. It's almost like, I don't know. It's just so silly. It's almost ironic. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that works for the NXT crowd.
Yes.
Doesn't work for a main roster crowd.
No, like as soon as their theme music hits.
You fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fine, like, as you said, in the NXT crowd because it's a more rabid fan base.
Yeah.
They buy into the characters more, I think.
When you're just there and it's a really small venue, you'll pop for anything that shows any flair of creativity or something that's different, something that's unique.
Yep.
When you're sitting in the cheap seats and you hear that old timey music, the last thing you get is excited.
Yep.
You don't get excited at all. So this is kind of doomed to fail from the start.
But when they debuted, they were pushed pretty quickly into a feud against the New Day, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was a decent feud. They had a couple decent matches, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And then after that feud ended, after the New Day held on to the tag team titles,
mm-hmm.
with the Vaudevillains didn't really do much.
There was also the time when Simon Gotch got hit in the head with a can of Dr. Pepper.
Well, even also, too, when they were in a match against Enzo and Cass, and Gotch threw Enzo, like, squarely directly into the ropes, and he got a concussion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, ever since that, they haven't really done anything with him.
Yeah.
And then they got drafted to SmackDown, and then they've just been buried there.
Here's the thing about the Vaudevillains. They are so... they're so perfectly branded for their gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, they literally do look like time travelers. They're both weird-looking dudes who look like they could be from the old days,
mm-hmm.
like the Frank Gotch days. Aiden English, we watched an old NXT where he was doing the singing thing.
Yeah.
And this gimmick fits him perfect because they can never really be anything else, I don't think. Like, how are you going to repackage those guys?
Yeah, you can at this point.
You really just can't.
You
really can't. I mean, you can't have him do that weird singing thing that he did before. Nobody's going to pop for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's so weird. Like,
didn't we have an idea, or you had an idea where, or maybe someone presented this idea to us. I don't remember. We talked about it before, where, you know, right now they're embodying the spirit of, what, the 19, like, turn of the century or less.
Yeah.
And so, like, once a month or something, they move forward a decade.
Yeah, I like that.
That'd be interesting.
Because, they start, like, learning up on what the next era was all about.
Yeah.
And so, or they're like, we've been so preoccupied trying to be men, trying to be men from a bygone era that we forgot about other eras.
Yeah. So they're going to start learning about other eras.
Right.
And start embodying the spirit of those eras.
Exactly.
What are you telling me?
Yeah. It'd be great. Like when they get around to the 80s and they just start getting jacked.
Yeah. They start juicing.
Exactly.
And then 90s come around and then they start dressing in all grunge stuff.
Well, yeah,
flannels and such.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the aughts, they start listening to new metal.
Yeah, yeah. Which would is like half the theme music these days for wrestling anyways. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with the vaudevillains, man. Like, I just don't know what to do with them. Isn't it weird that SmackDown has all the theme, like all the gimmick
tag
like,
teams,
all the straight up gimmick tag teams. They've got Fashion Police. They've got Time Travelers. They've got Legion of Doom wannabes, like the Wasteland guys.
Yeah.
Who else? They've got now with the Usos. They've
and
got
they had,
like,
the and they had the hype bros. Guys.
And they have the hype bros. Yeah, exactly. Why do they have all, like, they have all the cartoon characters?
I don't know.
So weird. But the vaudevillains, yeah, I don't know. I mean, oh, let me ask this. Do you think the vaudevillains would be well served by a transfer to Raw?
I guess in terms of just the change of scenery, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And their best feud on the main roster had been with the New Day, so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I don't see anybody taking them seriously.
No.
Especially when that crap music comes on.
I know.
Like, I like old-timey music, just I don't get hyped when I hear it. It's not like freaking Mojo's music where, dum, 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 hi, brother, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, vaudevillains. Number seven.
Seven.
Summer Rae. I don't know. She always seems to be like the odd, like, okay, Emma, awkward, good wrestler.
Yeah.
Her
gimmick worked in NXT. Yeah. Her initial gimmick.
Yeah.
Worked in NXT.
Yeah.
Didn't work in the main roster.
Right.
Sent her back to NXT. Mm-hmm. They completely repackaged her.
Yeah.
Came back up to main and then got hurt.
But Emma always put on a good match.
Yeah.
I can't think of much. I mean, okay, Summer Rae has done some decent comedy stuff.
Yeah. Some of that, I mean, we talk about the Dolph Lana pairing and what a disaster that was.
Summer Rae was good in that.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah, she was good in that. But I don't know. I feel like right now there is, I mean, you know, they call it the women's revolution or whatever you want to call it. She definitely, somebody who, she kind of got lapped in NXT by the superior women athletes, the superior women, you know, wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley and all those. And Summer Rae was with them back then.
Yeah.
And Emma was a terrific wrestler and Paige was a good wrestler. And Summer Rae just, I don't think she wasn't real. I mean, I'm not going to say she's a bad wrestler or anything, but like she's not a standout wrestler.
Yeah.
And
I mean, she made her main roster debut by being Fandango's partner. That's when she got brought up.
Oh, okay.
Remember after he debuted and had the initial one or two partners,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
she
yeah,
was
yeah.
brought in.
Okay. I mean, there's obviously they hadn't had serious plans for her when they brought her up. So it's kind of like at that point, well, why are you even bothering? Because right after, like, you know, 2 years after that or 3 years after that was when the women's revolution really happened. So, yeah, Summer Rae, I mean, kind of a waste of a spot.
I have heard some good things about what Summer and Sasha Banks did in NXT.
Oh, okay.
When they were a pair. Mm-hmm. So I want to check that out.
Yeah.
From back in.
Were they part of the BFFs? Or was it the
BFFs. Yeah, okay, they were the BFFs.
Yeah. I think she could do
they
good
align
stuff.
Themselves with
I have no idea of her. I mean, I've seen her. I've never really. Her wrestling hasn't stood out to me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, never say never, I guess. You know, they could bring her back. And
now she's hurt, if I'm correct.
Yeah, she's injured right now.
Yeah.
She's injured right now.
Due to a knee injury.
Yeah. So.
So maybe when she comes back, she's on Raw. So maybe, if nothing else, they need women there to add some depth to the roster.
She's on Total Divas, isn't she?
I don't think she's on it anymore, no.
Oh, not anymore? She was, though.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, she was.
When the cameras were around and she was around.
No, she was on there. She was a cast member.
Okay, all right.
I didn't want to say the second season.
Mm. That's kind of a bummer. You get bumped from Total Divas. Number six.
Six.
Adam Rose. Now, here is a case of just bad booking. Because everything about his party thing, I really liked.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool, and I thought it could have been like really dark and neat and interesting, and then they didn't do anything with him, you know. They had like that weird bunny thing going where he was like feuding with the bunny, and you know that was probably just some weird shit that Vince thought was hilarious.
And I know, and then just didn't go anywhere.
Didn't go anywhere.
But they really hyped up his debut. There's all those vignettes,
yeah,
with the Exotic Express,
yeah, and there's so much to like about Adam Rose. Like, he's got a great face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got so much character on that face. he had really good mic skills. Like mm-hmm. he was very confident on the mic. He had a very, very well-defined character. I loved the, what was it called? The Rosebud Express or whatever it was.
The Exotic Express.
The Exotic Express.
But his crew was the Rosebuds. Rosebuds.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be a lemon, be a rosebud mm-hmm. or some shit like that. I like that. I just wish they gave this dude like a really good mean streak and a lot of clean wins.
Yeah.
You know? And then that would propel him up into some good feuds. He had everything it takes, I thought.
I know.
I really did feel that way. And then he got relegated to being part of the social outcast. And at that point, you could just tell he had checked out.
He was still doing some funny stuff there, though.
I know, but something tells me that that's just sort of who he is. I just think that he's a naturally funny
guy. And also, right before he joined the social outcast, he was doing these little segments that were kind of TMZ-like.
Oh, yeah, I like that, too.
Like backstage gossip and stuff. And those were funny.
Yeah, those were pretty funny.
They just never did anything
with it.
They
were kind of like... They would like break down the sort of kayfabe thing,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I
kind of like that stuff. Absolutely bizarre though. So like, and also it's kind of odd, you know, so he had his little run-in with the law. He had like a domestic disturbance charge or abuse or some shit like that. And that was a big bummer. His wife and him seemed to have gotten that sorted out. And
those charges were dropped.
And yeah. So, and then he hit the independent scene. And it's kind of interesting because I haven't really heard, you know, you hear about Cody Rhodes a lot. You hear about Alberto Del Rio a lot. You don't hear about Adam Rose all that much.
I think I read somewhere that he dropped, because he changed his name to Aldo Rose.
Yeah.
But I think he dropped the party gimmick entirely now.
Oh, okay.
I want to say.
That's got to be kind of expensive to keep up.
Yeah, he went back to the name, the Leo Kruger.
Really?
Yeah, persona.
That's interesting. I wonder why he'd do that. Like, where has he wrestled? As Leo Kruger.
Doesn't say.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh. Well, whatever. So anyways, I guess that wasn't working for him. It is just kind of interesting. I don't know what the story is in terms of, like, he seemed a natural to go to like WCPW to do the indie circuit that we know, like Cody and Alberto Del Rio has done. He seemed a natural fit to do all that stuff. A Ryback for that matter. And I just don't know why I would think there's maybe a story there. Maybe there are legalities in terms of his arrest or conditions or whatever. I have no idea. But I actually really liked Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I was just really sad that they didn't do anything with him. And then they had that stupid bunny. And the thing about the bunny thing is that as soon as they started it, you just knew it was going to be forever. There would be no resolution.
It'd be like the anonymous Raw general manager.
Yes. You knew that there would never be a payoff.
And if there was a payoff, it would not be satisfying.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so silly. Number five.
Five.
Tyler Breeze. Again, fashion police. But the thing about Tyler Breeze is that, especially I think due to the breaking, he was so... People pulled for him so much in NXT.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically that Breaking Ground, the episode where he got his call up.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh, you know, man, that's great. That's awesome. I'm so happy for him. So happy for you. And then he showed up on the main roster and you kind of immediately understood how bad the gimmick is.
Yeah.
And how the gimmick just overran everything. And then he has to talk. Because when he would talk on Breaking Ground... What have we said? We said this just in the last thing we filmed. The extension of a real person is a path to success.
Yep.
And that's what Scott Hall told Apollo Crews. He said, it sounds like you're cutting a promo. We need to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And to her credit, that's what Ember Moon is doing right now. It just sounds like it's an extension of her, even though we both feel that her character probably could use some additional mystique.
Yes,
to her.
Absolutely.
But in some cases... And in Tyler Breeze's case, I think definitely he needed just to be an extension of himself.
I know.
Not do a weird accent like this.
I know.
Or whatever that crap was.
I know. He was in WWE Developmental for 5 years.
Ew, willikers.
And I believe he went through a number of gimmicks.
He did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Before coming up with the Tyler Breeze character.
Yeah.
And yeah, that character worked fine in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It worked really well in the smaller venue.
Yeah.
And he's a capable wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a good wrestler.
He's got a good amount of charisma.
Yeah.
He's okay on the mic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think if he can either find the connection between the Tyler Breeze character and himself
mm-hmm.
or kind of repackage the Tyler Breeze character to channel more of who he is, it would give him more opportunities to succeed.
He even had a decent kickoff feud with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that those when he was paired with Summer Rae, he would sit ringside.
Yeah.
and watch matches, and it was funny.
Yeah, it was good stuff. That could it could have been like a really solid mid-card career.
Mm-hmm.
And but man, it just it's like where do you go? Like after that first thing with Dolph Ziggler, it's like, okay, well, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
Nobody seemed to have an answer for that, you know? And that's just a big bummer. But it's like when gimmicks, man, when you're stuck in a gimmick that specific and that limited, it's you're not going to go very far. And that sucks. It sucks for that because this dude really busted his ass and really tried, like on that Breaking Ground, you can tell he tried everything before he finally landed something that actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucks that that thing just would not go over on the main roster. Mm-hmm. You know,
just doesn't translate to that large of an audience.
Yeah. That's my kind of concern. Although it's in a different way. Ty Dillinger, I think, has a much better chance than Tyler Breeze because it's an extension of him.
And also the perfect 10 thing. It's not like his entire character is centered around being it's a not, perfect 10. It's
being just, the perfect 10 is not a character.
No.
It's how he refers. It's really no different than I'm glorious Bobby Roode.
Exactly.
I am the perfect 10 Ty
Dillinger. Have you noticed that in NXT these days, it seems like, by and large, they're not doing pure gimmicks anymore?
I know. I think they learned their lesson with this entire list right here. I mean, could you possibly see the Vaudevillains being introduced to NXT now?
No.
Not a freaking chance. Are you kidding
me? No way.
Number four. All Red Everything Eva Marie. This was kind of difficult to put her on the list because when she was on SmackDown,
it was funny.
It was kind of funny. But she got suspended and now she's shooting a movie.
Yeah, or just finished shooting a movie. And the reason it was funny is because she never wrestled.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was she was getting tons of heat.
Yeah.
Because she'd always just find a way to not wrestle.
One time her boobies came out.
True. But that gimmick worked for her because she actually is not that good of a wrestler.
Yes, yeah.
I believe she was brought into the company to be on Total Divas.
Yeah.
Or to do, you know, something other than wrestling. But, you know, I think most people met her for the first time thanks to Total Divas.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried like hell to make her into a wrestler.
I think when we did the worst women wrestlers or something like that list, I think one of the scoops notes was they brought her in to be a wrestler, but then immediately wanted her for Total Divas. And so much of her developmental time was done away with because of Total Divas.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it says. It says that she was signed to WWE and assigned to the Performance Center to begin her training, but then May of 2013, she got put on Total Divas and took away from her training time.
Yeah, yeah, so that sucks. And I don't know how far the gimmick of crap wrestler who finds ways to get out of matches altogether. Like, dude, the voiceover thing, that is kind of it's gonna be a limit. Like,
yeah, it's a limited appeal. I mean, if that's all it is, it's the same thing more or less every time. It's gonna get old.
That gimmick's gonna get old really quick. Nobody's gonna take that seriously at all.
No,
I mean, nobody already does. But it's like, I don't know. I think that hopefully, like while she's away shooting a movie in her downtime, she's practicing, like she's getting some reps in the ring somewhere. I don't know. But and she never came off, and I could be completely wrong. I followed her on Snapchat for a short period of time, but it's kind of like following Ryback. Like he'll just go, like I follow Ryback on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you know how now Instagram has like the Snapchat kind of function where you can look at their stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Take video and say, hey, what's going on? So most people like Brett Hundar. He's a great follow on Snapchat. He is freaking hilarious. Ryback on Instagram, conversely, like you get on, I was watching, I was like, oh, what's Ryback up to? Because most people you just sort of flip through and they'll have like a 10-second video.
Mm-hmm.
Ryback, it's Ryback talking, Ryback talking, Ryback talking, Ryback talking, Ryback talking. It's just like 3 minutes of him talking in 10-second chunks.
Oh, wow.
Eva Marie on Snapchat was kind of the same way. It was Eva Marie in a car, Eva Marie in a car, Eva Marie in a car, Eva Marie at the airport, Eva Marie at the airport. It was just, I swear to God, she was just always on Snapchat. Anyways, she's never really come off as somebody who gives a shit about the wrestling. You know what I mean? She always just sort of, she seems like the kind of person who gives a shit, maybe it's just her persona, that gives a shit about like the spotlight. Now, I don't know if that's her real motivation.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know.
There was one point on Total Divas in the third season, I think, where it's around the time of the draft. Maybe it's this last season. I don't remember. Where she goes up to, I think, Mark Carano and says, I have this idea I want to do for my character.
Mm.
And granted, it might be editing.
Okay.
But they make it seem like it was her idea for what she was on SmackDown.
Oh, that's
or at least the basis of it was her idea. Yeah. I don't know if she had the announcer and all that kind of stuff.
That's kind of interesting.
So, I mean, I think she is invested in being a wrestler.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's compared to basically everybody else in the women's division, she just doesn't have the experience.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be it was such an oddball thing. Like they were doing this gimmick where she would just find ways to get out of wrestling, and then she found like the ultimate way to get out of wrestling. She got suspended,
and then after that, she found another way. Yeah, go shoot a movie.
So yeah, so far, like, it's obviously invested a lot of money in her, but it has not paid off in the world of wrestling anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else they can gauge if she's making money for them or not.
Well, I'm assuming Total Divas makes money for them.
Yeah, no, I know. But if you take her out of the equation, would it really suffer a big hit?
Probably not.
I don't know.
I don't think she's on this season, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe she is. Yeah, she is a little bit. I haven't watched this more recent season as much as the
other
ones.
It's the Paige season when she gets like,
yeah,
it's going to be weird. When is she coming back? Number three.
Three.
Apollo Crews. Now, in his defense,
he was brought up way too early.
Way too early.
At least 8 months too early.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have been NXT champion.
Yep.
He also could have had a character.
Yes.
That we could have cared about had they given him time in developmental to develop a character.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he was brought up early. We don't know why. There was a rumor that he was brought up early to spite Triple H or some shit like that. By Kevin Dunn. I have no idea if that's even possible.
Yeah, no clue.
But because there's always weird, interesting backstage rumors.
Politics.
Stuff. Yeah. Stuff like that. So like it wouldn't surprise me, but at the same time, be like, why would they want to? They have a great talent. Why would they? Because he is really good in the ring.
He is fantastic.
He is fantastic in the ring. It's just he needed a lot of time to figure out, or he needed more time anyways, to figure out who he was as a character. I referenced this earlier in the show when Scott Hall was on Breaking Ground helping people out with promos. Apollo Crews was delivering a promo and Scott Hall pulled him aside and said, "You sound like you're delivering a promo. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you say."
Yes.
So you're doing a promo.
Within 3 or 4 months of being brought up to Maine, he was in an intercontinental title feud with The Miz.
Which he was like, I would hesitate to say he was in the feud. Because he won the number one contendership spot.
And then there is a segment of Miz TV where they aired the actual segment on SmackDown. And then during the commercial break that followed that segment, Apollo Crews came out to attack The Miz.
Yeah.
And then they only showed that after the return from commercial break. And I think that was one of maybe two appearances between when he was named number one contender and their match at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there was no story development whatsoever.
There was nothing. There is absolutely nothing. And then he just sort of languished on SmackDown. Like, there were entire weeks would go by without him being on TV.
I know.
And I'll never forget. And right now, he is in a program with a freshly healed Dolph Ziggler, which is great.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a bit more of an idea as to who he is.
He put on a pretty decent match against The Miz at Tribute to the Troops.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. And it led to a title shot.
Yeah.
And he lost that one. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just a shame he was brought up. Like, he's a top-class talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, man, they brought it. Was, I think even, didn't he say something like, even
he didn't
he
know
surprised.
He was being brought up until, was it the day of WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think
it was
so.
That weekend.
Yeah,
they told
it was
him.
That weekend. Yeah. So weird. Like, and even in NXT, like, he wasn't there very long.
He had been there, what, 6 months? Maybe 8 months?
In NXT?
Or is it less than that?
Dude, I think it was, because he wrestled, like, a small handful of people. He was there not a long time. Because I remember he fought Tyler Breeze. He had, like, one brief interaction with Tyler Breeze.
And he had a feud with Baron Corbin.
Okay, let's see here. August 22, he made his debut. Wait, August 22, 2000? No way. August.
He reported to the Performance Center.
Oh, okay. Yeah. August 2015. And then April 4th. So August.
8 months.
September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Yeah. 8 months. Okay. So, yeah. Let's see here. He had Cruz Corbin at NXT TakeOver. Oh, that's right. Because TakeOvers are so few. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no, so 8 months is what? Two TakeOvers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and then he fought Tyler Breeze, and then fought him again in his main roster debut. Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, he had a feud with the Social Outcast. I kind of remember that.
Oh yeah,
and it's funny because you think that the brand split would have helped him.
I know,
because SmackDown is so, their roster depth is not that deep. You'd have thought that that would have helped him, but man, like he has been nowhere until very, very recently. And I remember, I'll never forget that picture they tweeted out from like Survivor Series, I think it was, because yeah, he was in a pre-show,
yeah,
multi-man tag match, and everybody on the face team took a picture, and they all had these big smiles on their face, very happy, and he had the most defeated smile I've ever seen on a human being before. It was funny in a sad way, because I like to laugh at that stuff, because he's doing fine now. He's fine.
Yeah, hopefully this feud with Dolph will
help.
Yeah,
we'll do something, but we do need something. I always thought it'd be kind of cool if he sort of went Rudo, if he went heel and like as an underappreciated talent.
Yes.
You know, and started outperforming people and like kept it real on the mic. Maybe, I don't know, but I think he's just going to play babyface to the heels. Hopefully it'll lead to somewhere. Hopefully it'll, you know, people will start caring. I mean, it's going to be kind of, hopefully Dolph Ziggler takes this as an opportunity to say, hey, how can I really get this guy over? You know, maybe that's the impetus of the heel turn is, hey, we want to get this kid over.
Yeah.
You know, go do your best.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
Number two. Bo Leave. Bo Dallas.
Do you remember when Bo was in the Royal Rumble years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Before
he was a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Or the motivational character.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that short feud, was it, with Wade Barrett on the main roster when Wade Barrett was Intercontinental Champion?
Yes,
it was,
I do.
Super brief.
I do remember that. Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was, yeah, it was really brief.
Like 2012 or 2013 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember they made him out to be hot, hot shit because it was before I wasn't watching NXT.
Yeah.
I don't even know if NXT was like
on TV. It might have been FCW still.
Yeah, it could have been.
If it was, if it was 2012, it was still FCW.
Okay. No, I do remember that, and everybody's saying, oh my God, this guy's great. It turns out his brother has gotten much more of a rub than he has.
Yes.
And it's kind of a bummer. What do you think about the Bo Leave gimmick? Is that something that could go a long way, or is that too limited of a gimmick?
I don't think it's limited. I thought he, for the most part, did some good stuff with it. It's a situation where they just didn't book him as a strong character.
Yeah, yeah.
They just booked him as a kind of a comedy character.
Exactly. He was a comedy character. He was, you know, he ate a lot of losses.
Yep.
And he's the kind of guy that they seem to do that thing that they do every once in a while where somebody will be motivated to book him into wins, and then he just, oh, wait, we need somebody to take a pin. Let's get that guy.
I know.
And it's like, wait, well, you're building him up. And I guarantee you there's probably some low-level WWE writer who's like, man, I was doing something with him, and now you're jobbing him out.
Well, it's kind of what happened when he debuted, and then the Social Outcast, which is kind of, you know, they jobbed pretty much everybody. And then after the draft, he got that repackage where he was Angry Bo.
He was Angry Bo.
And he was going on a modest winning streak.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I think he lost. He lost, and then he was in the anger management segment with Enzo.
Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't seen him since.
How great would it have been if instead of Jinder Mahal, they would have packaged Bo with Rusev? That could have been interesting.
Yeah,
that would have been an interesting dynamic. I mean, at least to try it.
Bo won the FCW championship 3 times.
Yeah.
The NXT championship once.
Yeah.
It was 2013 he was in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Bottom line, he needs to be a Wyatt. Join his brother in the Wyatt family.
That'd be fantastic.
I think that'd be absolutely great. Because here's the thing about Bo Dallas. He has a lot going on for him. Like, number one, he's a rotunda. And those guys are talented.
He's good on the mic.
He's really good on the mic. He's got a good look. He's good when he's, like, angry. He can look creepy. He has got everything that the Wyatt family could use.
Yep.
You know? It's just apparently, from what we've heard, Bray Wyatt doesn't really want to be packaged with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much that's true, but yeah, Bo Dallas, I think It's always sad because I think a lot of people on this list, dude, it's like Fandango, Vaudevillains, Adam Rose, Tyler Breeze. God, yeah. Not so much Apollo Crews, but Bo Dallas for sure, and The Ascension. They're all in that NXT class that kind of preceded Sami Zayn and Finn Balor and Hideo Itami.
I know.
And so it was like they're still figuring a lot of things out. You know, all these gimmicks, you know, these gimmicks that they're putting people into as opposed to bringing in people.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Bo Leave character is
right,
a gimmick.
Right, yeah, it's totally a gimmick. And the problem with the Bo Leave thing is that they married him so much to the Bo Leave thing. You know what I mean? And that's why I asked you, I said, what do you think about the Bo Leave thing? It's like, no, it's not necessarily that Bo Leave can't be a thing. It's that can't be everything.
Yes.
And that's the problem with that, is that it was every single week, just Bo Leave. And yeah, that's funny for a second, but dude, you're just a walking gimmick now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bummer. Because I think the world of Bo Dallas, I'd love to see them. I think if there's anybody on this list that could have a successful repackage, it would be him, because I think he has everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tyler Breeze too. Number one.
One.
The Ascension. Man, talk about the most fascinating case of the WWE seemingly going out of their way to bury a big time call up.
I know. In NXT, The Ascension were one of, if not the most dominant tag teams.
Yeah.
They had the NXT tag team titles for basically an entire year.
Yeah.
From mid-September 2013 to mid-September 2014. Yeah. And they got brought up, and then they were packaged as these kind of Legion of Doom knockoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like talking all sorts of trash about all sorts of classic tag teams.
Yeah, they came out, and in the very first thing they did, maybe they had the match first and they delivered promo. I swear they came out, got on the mic, and immediately killed any chance of success they had, because they come out and they say, because they're obviously inspired by the Road Warriors and a couple other groups, and they immediately started running them all down.
Yep.
In the biggest grab for X-Pac heat I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody go out there and try to get X-Pac heat like they
were.
Like they
were told to do.
Like they were told to do. Because immediately people hated them. And on top of that, they didn't even book them as dominant.
No.
Because they almost immediately started eating losses.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if they came out and they talked a lot of shit and then they started destroying everybody. And they said, you know what? We're not the past, we're the future. But they immediately started losing.
I know. They got brought up early 2014. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Sorry. They got brought up towards the end of 2014. And by February of that year, they were already jobbing.
Jeez.
It's about 2 months.
That's horrible. And here's the thing about the Ascension is that it bugs me when I see them on SmackDown, because they have such a really well-branded gimmick. The Ascension is a great name.
Yeah.
Their outfits are really cool. I mean, yeah, they're throwback, but they're really cool. They look good together. They've got cool face paint.
They work well together.
They work really well together. I mean, they're not amazing wrestlers or anything.
It seems like ever since they beat the New Age Outlaws at the Rumble a couple years back, that was basically the high point of their main roster careers. And that was 2 years ago.
That's crazy. Like, they really could be huge right now.
I know. Especially on SmackDown, where there's zero depth.
Like, they are such a unique act, and yet they do nothing with them. I don't know if it's a matter of, like, you know, Randy Orton gave an interview very recently where he said something like, the number one thing not to do in the locker room is believe your own hype.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have zero clue. Maybe they're assholes. Maybe they believe their own hype. I don't know. I'd like to think not. I have no idea. But you have to dig for reasons as to why they are treated the way they are.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
I know.
You know? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it says here, this is according to an Inquisitor article, that shortly after the Ascension made their WWE debut, there were reports that Vince McMahon was telling JBL to bury the team during their matches on commentary.
And the rumor was that Vince was angry with them when they botched a line in one of their promos and he never got over it. I don't get that. You put money into these guys. I don't get that.
They were in developmental for 3 years.
And then they botch one line from a scripted promo. You can't get over it, so you bury them. That's weird.
You put so much money into them.
It's antithetical to like a good business model.
I know. You put so many resources into developing these wrestlers, and they make one mistake.
Yeah.
And then you bury them. Doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make a lick of sense, man. I have no idea. But you know, who knows? Maybe they can turn around. Maybe they'll get out of the doldrums.
Yeah.
If they prove that they can read scripted promos better, maybe. I have no idea, dude. I don't know. But anyways, there it is. There are the top 10 worst NXT call-ups. We wish all those competitors well.
Yes.
And hopefully some of them, all of them, can turn around and be big, big stars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.